Preface to the Second Edition.
Andy and I met back in the 90s. We were working on a variety of projects with a variety of companies, and invariably, just because of the kind of work we were doing, we were working with people whose projects were having problems. And we found ourselves saying the same thing to each company. Maybe you could test that before you ship it. Why does the code only build on Mary's computer? Why didn't anybody ask the users?
We figured we could save time with new clients by jotting down some notes, things that we thought were important, things that everyone should know, kind of regardless of what you're developing. And these notes grew and became the Pragmatic Programmer book. To our surprise, the book really struck a chord at the time. It became far more popular than we'd ever considered and continues to be popular throughout these last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, incredible surprise and very gratifying. So thank you all. But 20 years is 20 years. And in terms of software, that's many lifetimes. We came to realize that if you were to take a developer from 1999 and drop them into one of today's teams, they'd frankly be lost. So much has changed, not just in terms of technology, but also the way things get done. And similarly, the world of 1999, which was the environment in which the Pragmatic Programmer was written, is pretty alien to today's developers. Send someone back in time, and they would also struggle using the technology and techniques of those days.
But at the same time, 20 years has had no impact on common sense. Technology has changed wildly, but we haven't. People haven't changed in thousands of years. Practices and approaches that were a good idea 20 years ago are still a good idea today. And those aspects of the book aged really well, and in fact have really become part of the conversation, part of the language, part of the jargon that people use, all came from the original Pragmatic Programmer book.
And, you know, through those 20 years, every now and then we'll get together and say, hey, should we rev the book? And it's always been a kind of toss-up because most of the book is still very valid. And we had a lot of confidence that our readers would be able to, you know, make the transitions from some of the older references into modern technology. But as it approached 20 years, it occurs to us that we have a 20-year anniversary in 2020, and there's a certain kind of elegance to that. So we decided to make a revision. And then we faced a problem. We could either go through and just update all of the old technologies, and that would be it. Or we could just re-examine everything, look at the assumptions we made, and update things based on the additional 20 years of experience we each have. In the end, we did both.
So as a result, this book now is something like a ship of thesis, right? If you replace all the parts of the ship over time, is it still the same ship or not? In our case, about a third of the topics in the book are brand new. Of the rest, almost all of them have been rewritten, at least partially. I think at the end of the day, there probably wasn't a page or two that didn't have at least some change on it. And our intent was to make things clearer, more relevant, and hopefully somewhat timeless.
Because if nothing else, in those 20 years, we talked to people about the stuff in the original book. And in that process, we've learned how to say things maybe better than we did 20 years ago. And so we've been able to reflect that into the book. But we did make some difficult decisions. We had to decide what went and what stayed. We decided to drop the resources chapter, which was a list of, you know, websites and everything else that we reference in the book, simply because it's easier to search for them than it is to look them up in a book, and it would be more accurate. One major change in technology that's taken place in the last 20 years is the prevalence of concurrent and parallel systems. Basically, every computer that's sold nowadays has multiple cores in it. So we rewrote everything we had to do with concurrency and added a whole lot of new content around concurrency. One of the things that happened very soon after we wrote the first edition is that we were involved in the creation of the Agile Manifesto, which is another thing that took off much to our surprise. One of the things that's happened as a result of that is that people have been misinterpreting, we believe, the original spirit of that manifesto. So we've tried to address that in the book, both explicitly when we talk about the manifesto, but also implicitly when we talk about all the various practices.
We also recognized changes in the industry of the rising acceptance of functional programming idioms. Now, functional programming's been around forever. It's not exactly new, but the interest in it is, and the rise of that is a new phenomenon. So we had to address that. We always should have been addressing things such as privacy and security, but honestly, in the old days, it was sort of enough of a rush to get your code to compile. You really didn't worry too much about security or especially about bad actors getting in and messing up your code in addition to your own bugs. These days, of course, that's a major concern. So that's something else we had to address.
See, Andy, do you remember when we wrote the first edition, the endless phone calls we had about every single topic that we talked about and every single nuance of every single topic?
Oh, my, you're not kidding. Literally, we argued over individual words. Each word, the sense of this, there's a better word here that has somewhat better connotations, and this means a little bit too much of that. And word by word, we went through the manuscript, multiple times, trying to decide what was most important. Should we say this? Is this a worthy topic? Is there a better way to say this? Is there a clearer way to say this? And it was a tremendous amount of work.
There was a lot of disagreement. It was really interesting. And I think the book is better for it, but it was still quite an experience. So when we said, yeah, we'll write the 20th anniversary, I was dreading it because I really couldn't face another 2 years of, no, you mean retroactive, and this kind of thing. But in the end, that didn't happen. We set ourselves the challenge of writing down the changes we'd like to see in the book individually. When we revealed each other's lists to each other, amazingly, they were almost identical. So maybe in those 20 years, we've grown wiser, or maybe Andy has just, learned the error of his ways. But whatever it is, whatever it was, this process has been a lot smoother and easier, and we've been a lot more in agreement about the stuff we wanted to say.
It could also be that the gaping errors in the industry are so obvious that they're not contentious anymore, but that's just my theory.
That could be it. Anyway, this book is the result of that process, and we really hope you enjoy it.
Get out there and maybe adopt some new practices. Maybe decide some of the stuff we suggest is wrong or wrong for you. But get involved. Get involved in your craft and give us feedback. Let us know how you're doing.
And most importantly, remember to make it fun. So you've had the undoubted privilege of listening to Andy and myself talking for a while now. Clearly, you do not want to listen to an entire book in our dulcet tones. So let me introduce you to the book, who'll be handling the text from now on.
Thank you, guys. Let's start by looking at how this recording is organized. What you'll be hearing is a collection of short topics. Each topic is self-contained and addresses a particular theme. Feel free to listen to the topics in any order. Every now and then, we'll drop in a tip. As well as emphasizing points in the book, we feel the tips have a life of their own. Live by them daily. Scattered throughout the book, you'll find various bits of jargon, either perfectly good English words that have been corrupted to mean something technical, or horrendous made-up words that have been assigned meanings by computer scientists with a grudge against the language. The first time we use each of these jargon words, we'll try to define it, or at least give a hint to its meaning. However, we're sure that some have fallen through the cracks, and others, such as object and relational database, are in common enough usage that adding a definition would be boring. If you do come across a term you haven't seen before, please don't just skip over it. Take time to look it up, perhaps on the web or maybe in a computer science textbook. And if you get a chance, drop us an email and complain so we can add a definition to the next edition. Having said all this, we decided to get revenge against the computer scientists. Sometimes there are perfectly good jargon words for concepts, words that we've decided to ignore. Why? Because the existing jargon is normally restricted to a particular problem domain, or to a particular phase of development, However, one of the basic philosophies of this book is that most of the techniques we're recommending are universal. Modularity applies to code, designs, documentation, and team organization, for instance. When we wanted to use the conventional jargon word in a broader context, it got confusing. We couldn't seem to overcome the baggage the original term brought with it. When this happened, we contributed to the decline of the language by inventing our own terms. We're just following the advice of Lewis Carroll in Through the Looking Glass. "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said in rather a scornful tone, "it means just what I choose it to mean. Neither more nor less." Source code and other resources. Most of the code shown in this book is extracted from compilable source files, available for download from our website at pragprog.com/titles/TPP20. There, you'll also find links to resources we find useful, along with updates to the book and news of other pragmatic programmer developments. We'd appreciate hearing from you. Email us at ppbook@pragprog.com.